The Escape Pod. Let's go on a trip through time to see what tomorrow will look like yesterday.
Prepare the escape pod for a launch.
Today was yesterday's tomorrow.
Pressurizing.
Where we are now used to be the unimaginable future.
You will.
And today's outdated entertainment used to be yesterday's state-of-the-art.
Power.
Sifting through science fact and science fiction from outdated technology to the birth of the future. Let's get away from it all for a few minutes by going back the way we came into logbook.com's escape pod.
Escape pod ready.
The logbook.com's escape pod has settled into orbit again for a look at the fantastic, the futuristic, and the unreservedly geeky. I'm Earl Green, and I'll be your tour guide as we relive what tomorrow looked like yesterday. On this day in 1888, the largest telescope in the world was open for business. Well, the largest at the time. A new 91-centimeter refractor allowed astronomers at the Lick Observatory in California to see further into the night sky. Apple Computer was incorporated on this day in 1977. In 1999, the Mars Surveyor 98 polar lander was launched by NASA. But like the other vehicle in the Mars Surveyor 98 program, the Mars Climate Orbiter, it never reached its destination intact.
T-minus 10. 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. We have ignition. We have liftoff of the Delta II rocket carrying the Mars Polar Lander, NASA's first visit to the red planet's southern pole. We will now monitor comments from Eric Anderson, who's in the telemetry lab.
Down nicely by the guidance computer.
And we're looking at a spectacular view of the camera mounted on the first stage of the Delta vehicle.
And in 2013, the Golden Spike Company announced an initial round of study contracts awarded to the maker of NASA's 1960s Apollo lunar landing modules to design a new generation of spacecraft to land people on the surface of the moon. Actor Dabney Coleman was born on this day in 1932. Mel Gibson was born today in 1956. Comics artist Will Eisner died on this day in 2005. In 1969, Captain Kirk and his landing party had unwelcome company.
You're making a mistake.
Captain Kirk is pressed for time at the moment, Marta.
There's nothing the matter with me. Can't you see just by looking at me? Can't you tell just by listening?
She sounds rational enough, Captain.
I am rational.
What is it you want to tell
him? I can't tell you in front of him.
You're afraid to talk in front of Governor Corey?
He isn't really Governor Corey at all. That's just it.
She's been saying that for days now. Our medical staff can't figure out why.
The Star Trek episode Whom Gods Destroy premiered on NBC. In 1970, Doctor Who appeared in color for the first time on the small screen.
His home cardiovascular system is quite unlike anything I've ever seen. And I'm told his blood can't be identified.
Splendid. That sounds like the Doctor.
Do you know him?
No, I thought I might do, but he's a complete stranger. I've never seen him before in my life.
Lethbridge Stewart. My dear fellow, how nice to see you again.
He knows you, sir.
But he can't do. Look here. Can you hear me? Who are you?
Don't you recognize me?
I'm positive we've never met before.
My dear. Oh, I can't have changed that much.
Jon Pertwee made his debut as the Third Doctor in Part 1 of Spearhead from Space, which also marked the beginning of the Doctor's exile to Earth and his work with Brigadier Lethbridge Stewart and UNIT. In 1983, two Doctors collided, although one of them wasn't the Doctor quite yet.
The TARDIS has arrived.
Yes, I was about to inform you. The compound is secure.
Excellent.
Commander Maxill, why are you treating the Doctor like a criminal?
I'm simply following orders.
Colin Baker guest starred as a grandiose Gallifreyan guard in Part 1 of Ark of Infinity, kicking off Doctor Who's 20th anniversary season. A little over a year later, Baker would be taking over the TARDIS from Peter Davison. In 1999, Earth was in danger and the Babylon 5 crew tried to help.
General, listen to me. The fleet is not our main concern. Leave them to the defense grid. The Death Cloud itself is the real danger. Now, they will try to knock your fleet aside to position their planet killer where it can strike. You have got to stop that from happening.
What do you want me to do?
Captain Anderson and I stand the best chance of taking it out. Give us a flying wedge of ships to help punch a hole through their defenses and get us within striking range of that thing.
And then what?
And we kill it. Somehow.
Serving as a pilot movie for the upcoming B5 spin-off series Crusade, the Babylon 5 TV movie A Call to Arms premiered on TNT. And in 2009, the BBC revealed the identity of the 11th Doctor, the youngest actor yet to get the keys to the TARDIS, Matt Smith.
I've got this wonderful sort of journey in front of me where I've got this kind of 6 months to build this Time Lord, you know? And that's such an exciting prospect, because I love that part of being an actor. I love the discovery of it and the being a detective bit.
You can read about these events and many more on thelogbook.com's ever-evolving timeline of geek history. The book Vorp 1 is available now, thelogbook.com's 396-page guide to Doctor Who on TV from 1963 through 2011, cross-referencing old episodes and new, and catching you up on the mythology of the longest-running science fiction series in TV history. You can pick up other original books and DVDs and hundreds of other titles in thelogbook.com store anytime. Thanks for listening to the Escape Pod.
Commencing escape pod landing procedure. The logbook of your escape pod was written and produced by Earl Payne.